If I bet future, would a community trust work better than a private landowner? Today, disgruntled islanders are speaking out. And a warm welcome. I'm Leslie Riddick, and this is Speaking Out. Hearing today from two men separated by several hundred miles of sea, but linked by one thing. Although they've been at the centre of their island communities for almost half a century, they've absolutely no say over how those islands should be run. Last week, retired Dr. Hector McLean waited to see who would become the new owner of Egg, one of the Inner Hebrides 15 miles west of Malaig. In the event, it was bought back by one of the previous owners, Keith Schellenberg, who'd been forced to put the island on the market after a lengthy legal wrangle. Today, postie Seamus McSporran is waiting to see who will buy his home on the island of Gia, off the west coast of Kintyre. Once again, a bid's expected from the former owner, Malcolm Potier, who was forced to sell when his property empire collapsed. A fortnight of uncertainty for hundreds of people, and in the case of Egg, disappointment for the majority of locals who voted to support an attempt to buy the island and run it as a community trust. Their bid failed before it had much time to formulate detail or attract funding. But would it have offered a new way of life, perhaps a new democracy to Scotland's islanders? What is the track record of the island lairds? Would local people do better, and do they really want the chance to try? Let's hear your views on 041 338 6161. That's 041 338 6161. First, though, let's hear from Hector McLean, the retired doctor who's lived on Egg since 1951. As he told me at the weekend, the neighbours' children, he often minds, simply don't know how fertile their island was in days gone past.
The old people on the island told me that when they were young, there was only one place on the island where they could get bracken for bedding for the cattle, and that was at the extreme north end of the island. A few years ago, the bracken reached the extreme southwest end of the island.
Whose fault that?
Well, the bracken has no natural enemies, and unless people do something about it, it spreads non-stop.
What about the human problem? Because there are far fewer people, and there seem to be fewer houses. There seem to be a few houses actually sitting empty, some estate houses for rent. It looked to be in pretty poor nick, as far as I can see. What about the human population?
The standard of housing was quite primitive. Several of the houses have been very much improved. But it's only recently that there's been any attempt to bring them up to modern standards. People have come into the island and are living in caravans because there are no available houses for them.
And yet, I mean, I've seen two estate houses that are sitting empty now, and there are grants to try and build on Croft site.
Yes. Well, some of the people who are living in caravans have had the use of an estate house during the winter, but then they have to move back to the caravan when the house is required for summer lets.
There's also the question of rubbish disposal here, and most houses, particularly on the other side of the island, have basically got couch beside the house.
Yeah.
Now, why couldn't there be a rubbish tip?
Well, you would have to site a rubbish tip in a position where there would be no polluting the groundwater. It's equally difficult to find a site where there is fairly easy access without a question of building a road to get there.
Is it true to say that any sites that might exist like that are owned by Mr. Schellenberg, and he hasn't so far allowed any of them to be used?
I think that is the case.
Is that the best way to keep an island population going? I mean, I'm talking now about the question of ownership and the question which brings us to the trust, which I understand you voted for yourself.
Yes.
Would that have been a better way forward on counts of controlling the land, on being able to decide how to accommodate people, having more control, I suppose?
I think I would need the second site to answer that question.
But you voted for it?
Yes. because it seemed a better proposition than the lottery of private ownership. I mean, in the time I've been here, there have been several owners, one of whom was the absolute bottom.
That's not the present owner?
No, that is not the present owner.
But you never know who's next.
Well, that's it. When an island's put up for sale, who's going to buy it? And for what purpose? You just don't know. We were brought up to regard this country as our native land. And it goes against the grain to realize that nowadays our native land can be bought by anyone who has the money to buy it for whatever purpose, complete with its human population. I don't like that.
So now we're in a situation where it isn't the unknown, it's the perhaps devil that you do know, it's Keith Schellenberg who has bought the island back again.
Yes.
Does that mean that you're a happy man?
Yes, I would say so.
Is that because nothing worse is going to happen, or because you hope that things will improve?
Well, I don't know what the situation will be in the future, but we certainly could have had worse than Keith Schellenberg by a long way. Any trust or any individual would have a very hard task ahead, because whatever could be done to improve things here would be very expensive.
Do you think you would have got any help from the state or from the government or from different the local enterprise companies? Would there perhaps have been money available if you'd been a trust which might not be forthcoming under a private landowner?
I think that is the case.
So is that the end of the whole trust idea? Is that the end of the whole excitement?
Well, that seems to be the reality of the situation. We have no choice. We just have to take what comes.
Well, if those sentiments have roused you, why? Is it unacceptable that one person should effectively control the lives of so many people? Or is there evidence that local people could make a better job of land management given the chance? Let's hear what you think on 041 338 6161. That's 041 338 6161. First, though, let's say hello to the owner of Egg, Keith Schellenberg, who's here in Glasgow, together with Alistair McIntosh, a trustee of the Isle of Egg Trust and research fellow at the Department of Human Ecology at Edinburgh University. And there in Edinburgh, we have Disney Barlow, who's convener of the Scottish Landowners Federation, and standing by his phone later in gear, Seamus McSporran. But first, Keith, how do you take all of that?
Well, it's pretty amazing nonsense, isn't it? I mean, you talk about a sort of Haiti dictatorship situation. I'm sorry, I don't look more like Boris Karloff and whip all the crofters before 8 o'clock in the morning before breakfast. I am the owner of a farm, and it happens to be 15 miles into the Atlantic. Most of the people you're talking about, including the doctor, they own their own houses. I have no control over anything. I actually have less problem than anybody else on the place. I have one house which is, since this case, going over the last 4 years, has become semi-derelict. I've got the terrible job of building it up again. It's my home. As far as the land itself is concerned, well, this is farmed by local people who have complete security, and they earn a living and pay the taxpayer for the privilege of doing so. Most of the people at the other end of the island, that I suppose Dr. McLean is referring to taking over with the trust, and Mr. McIntosh here, the land that these farmers are using, have 1,100 acres. In his own report, they're not doing very well with it. Why really should they expect to take over the rest? All I'm doing is actually saving the wildlife to start with, because nothing, I was very worried that another owner would come in and perhaps start shooting and everything else, and or you'd have lots of government committees. In any case, huge amounts of the taxpayers' money would be spent on this ludicrous process. After all, if you want to take over a farm on egg, why not take, as a councillor, I think Councillor MacDonald suggested, all the farms all over Scotland? They're no different. We have a farm in Bampshire of 600 acres, Eastern Highlands, which we actually got purely to help with the egg farm. And that has the same output as 10 times the thing on egg. We have 6 holiday cottages there, which have the same output as 18 holiday cottages on egg, because of the climate, because of the difficulty of getting there.
Because the ones on egg are in pretty bad nick.
Look, all the ones on egg, every one, we built from ruins. Now, let's understand this point. We built them up. They weren't there before. We built those cottages, and we spent a huge amount building up a jolly good business. We employed something like 20 people. Now, if you want to complain, you complain about the legal system you have in Scotland, which has had 6 years... when I have not been allowed to say one word in my defence, 6 years at a rate of 2 appearances in the Court of Session, it has made an absolute fortune for the lawyers, and it has ruined my business and my home.
Keith, that's more difficult.
I'm an individual, and people like to go at individuals.
Calm down. There's an hour here, okay? You've got well over enough time.
Oh, that's all right.
I know, if you feel pent up for 6 years, I can tell you some of the answers feel a bit the same, because many people actually wouldn't go on tape because they were frightened, basically, of the repercussions, which is another aspect of things that makes this whole thing rather highly charged.
Repercussions of what?
I don't know.
Well, you should find out.
I was there for an entire weekend. The reason is because they're not sure how you'll react.
But I don't have any control. I mean, we have a police force.
Well, we
have a regional council. And, you know, a lot of these statements were made. Perhaps if you've got an hour, we can go into them. But it's not actually my job. I do it. I clear the rubbish. You know, I provide public lavatories because the Highland region won't do it, and then they charge me rates. I look after, particularly when we were on stream 4 years ago, old ladies who the Highland region won't put up in houses for no rent, for nothing. I'm just the farmer there. I'm doing these jobs, and at the end of the day, you know, the individual is the person who's crucified.
Well, can we just on some of those things? I mean, the question of the rubbish tip was one that animated a lot of people. They feel that basically you won't give any land over to make a rubbish tip, which means that they all have the rubbish down the end of their own homes, which means a lot of rats are around. Now, why can't you come up with any land for them?
Well, let's look at this. The majority of the population live at Clearedale. They've got their own land and everything else there. Why don't they use it? Right, there's plenty of ideal spots for that. As far as the south side of the island, if you like, which is near, this is used as a rubbish tip, and we do the clearance. The Highland region don't do the clearance. I mean, I haven't done since we were stopped running a business in 1989, but before that, that's exactly what we did.
But as I was told by Anders, who said Highland region had to look at it, the area where most of the crofters live that you mentioned has a limestone base, which means that it wouldn't actually be fit for having rubbish dumped on it.
Well, nobody's actually told me about the the limestone base or anything else. I simply don't get myself involved in controversial issues. I mean,
is a rubbish tip controversial? I thought it was, you know, most people would have done it.
If you want to make the program on whether I provide a rubbish tip, that's the only thing you can find that I haven't done.
No,
you know, it's a pretty amazing waste of everybody's time.
There's a lot of issues, as you say. There's water, mains, electricity, the shop. The uncertainty of what will happen in the future, the state of the houses, the bracken. There's quite a list that people have come up with, but as you say, there's an hour. It's not just you here, so let's have a word with Alistair meantime. Alistair, what's your feeling about the reaction of Islanders to the fact that the trust didn't work? I mean, basically, you didn't get any money from anybody, so does that mean that the larger funding bodies basically gave you a vote of no confidence?
Highland Regional Council's Policy and Resourcing Committee gave the proposals a full vote of confidence. Highlands and Islands Enterprise, through its local network body Loch Arbour Limited, gave the Trust £8,000 to conduct a socio-economic study of its proposals. Everybody, every public body, every corporate body, every non-governmental organisation body that we approached in the Highlands gave us their full endorsement in whatever way was open to their powers in so doing.
but no money. But not enough money to go to make a bid.
No, but in the letter from Highlands Regional Council, it was pointed out that they hope to spend £2 million over the next 5 years on egg, and that they would do everything in their power to expedite community ownership. Has Mr. Schellenberg agreed to their suggestion that the execution date was extended somewhat? We had hoped to have a meeting on the 8th to coordinate a 13th-hour bid. The political support was late on coming on board. I think that's probably because myself and my fellow trustees, Bob Harris and Tom Forsyth at present, Liz Lyon is no longer a trustee. I think perhaps because we were not astute on the political front, we didn't get that support galvanised at the earlier stage as we should have done. But in terms of community support and support from other bodies, there was an awful lot there.
But I mean, you did eventually, as I understand it, get knocked back by some charitable trust which you'd hoped to get money from. Now, what does that mean?
Well, the National Heritage Memorial Fund, the purpose of which is to save things of value for the nation, did have £3 million or so pointed towards the Mar Lodge Consortium. When the Mar Lodge Consortium pulled back a few weeks ago, I approached them and said, would you mind if we go to the bodies that have pointed money towards you to see if we can get it for egg? And very magnanimously, they said, certainly, do what you can. These ideas are all connected together. We broadly support what you're doing. I'm summarising, of course, here, because that consortium is a wide network and I wasn't able to talk with everybody on it. So we went to the National Heritage Memorial Fund, which knocked us back without giving me any reason. They said they were not allowed to give any reason. My view, frankly, is that signifies an alien cultural attitude, which understands... Can I finish, Mr. Schellenberg? Which understands art and artefact as being worthy of preservation, but fails to recognise, as part of our heritage, those communities which art and music and the soul of our Scottish culture are exemplified by.
Right, well, let me dive in before Keith does and say that if anyone's listening to this and would like to take part, here's the number to phone. It's 041-338-6161. That's 041-338-6161. Let's just go to Disney in Edinburgh for a moment. Good morning, Disney.
Good morning.
What's your feeling about this question of different ways of owning land? I mean, the fact that there are people looking at that, not to complicate matters too much, there are bids in the North Lough Inver estate to look at crofters buying the land there. It seems to be a wee bit of a vote of no confidence in the private land ownership system.
I think it's sometimes forgotten that Scotland is as it is today because of private land ownership. It must also be quite obvious that there is not sufficient public money to buy the whole of Scotland. And in many ways, islands are no different to, for sake of argument, North Lough Inver. I think somewhere along the line, a balance has to be struck. There is no doubt that running islands, in particular, is an extremely expensive operation.
Well, is it too expensive, even, for your average present-day private landowner?
I think this is the simple question of joint funding, where there is a lot of private money, and we've already heard that Highland Region are supposedly putting forward £2 million towards egg. And if that is on the infrastructure of egg, that must surely be an extremely good thing.
Do you remember, though, you know, there was a bit of a rammy, was it 200 years ago, about no taxation without representation? I mean, won't Highland Region and the taxpayers feel a wee bit odd about putting a lot of public money into the hands of a private individual?
They're not doing that, I'm sorry.
We're talking hypothetically at the moment. I think Disney's point is that in the future, there's going to have to be more money for backing private landowners who haven't got the cash to make the improvements on islands that are necessary.
I don't think they're doing anything different than they're doing in any of our towns and villages across the country. Just because it's an island, it isn't actually any different. People still live there, and people pay their rates or pay their poll tax and are just as entitled as anybody else to have money spent on them.
I mean, this is absolutely correct. The ridiculous thing is, why do we have to have landlords at all? Traditionally, our communities were not focused around landlords. Traditionally, they were focused around clan chiefs, of whom lairds are but a pale emulation. And let us not forget that what we are talking about here in the history of Scotland, I know it well from the Highlands and Islands perspective. I'm understanding now that it's also been established in areas like Fife and as far away as Ayrshire. We are talking about a situation where land was taken out of what was effectively community land ownership between 100 and 200 years ago. And in that process, which was near on a genocidal process in its cultural effects and its effects for the people of some areas, in that process, 500,000 of our Highland people were cleared from the land. In some places, the roofs were burned over their houses while they were still in. Over on the Uists, people were literally bound and thrown into holds of ships, chased out with dogs. And it is our view that the kind of eviction and control of landlords in the Highlands, using things like eviction as threats, using things like shooting people's pets, a threat to fight on the story I was giving the other day.
Who kills people's pets and all this nonsense? What of all the people who actually went to America? How many would want to come back today? I mean, let's open it up. I mean, this is, do you want to own your house or do you want the community to own it? This is the real issue in this. This is a lot of complete and utter nonsense to suggest that in some way what we're talking about in the Hebrides at the moment has any relationship to what happened before. And all the people who did leave, and let's face it, it was mainly an economic situation that caused them to leave, however brutally they may have been evicted. None of them want to come back to that life now.
Well, there do seem to be people who would like to come back. I mean, I understand you've got about, 70 people on egg, that's including children.
Well, yes, I was going to come to that. When the doctor was talking about the numbers and everything else, when I got involved with the island, there were actually 39 and two at the school, largely due to people that have come in to work on the holiday business, some who are doing very successfully. And as I say, it is they that actually work and own the work and own the farm, but largely through this, there are a number of people, not Scottish, not Hebridean. I mean, half the population is from, it is not from Glasgow, it's from England, it's from France. I mean, there's a charming Polish lady. I mean, I think that people should understand that the people, and there are something like 40 adults altogether, of which 20 are indigenous, and now more or less elderly. It's really these 20 that Alistair wants the taxpayer to produce £2 million to start with so that they can have their 250 acres at the expense of the local people who are working the farm. And then he'll ask for millions and millions, as Dr. Foxley says, poured into it for schemes that are bound to fail because you cannot have these intensive schemes. He wants to have a do-it-yourself tool hire company, which he expects to turn over £24,000 a year. I ask you for 12 people. His business study is owing £500,000 by year two. He wants to put a marina up. I mean, what that's to do with all the rubbish he's talking about conservation. I'm the proven conservationist. He wants to put a marina up, which not only will totally ruin this, but the first sort of August storm will bring so much upset and so many insurance claims. This is the reality that we're talking about, not this airy-fairy rubbish that's carped on by Alistair and his chums and his by the media.
Right. What I heard when I went over was actually not so much in the detail of that, but some concern that people would like, for example, to have access to mains water. It seems that when the European Community Directives come through, it may be the case that no one can operate a bed and breakfast without it. They'd also like the option of mains electricity. Most people are on diesel generators. It costs £3.50 a gallon to get petrol over. There are a lot of problems which need some imagination, some energy, and some infrastructure. Now, why are some islands getting it? Why has Muck Over the Water got a grant to go to Fuller to find out how they operate to get a wind generator? Mm-hmm. Why is there energy in some places, Keith, and not, it would seem, an egg?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, I haven't been involved in the thing since 1989.
Well, you should be. You're the
landowner. I am not. I was prevented by the court from running any business. Let's make this point. This has been in the court's hands, and I've had nothing to do with this since 89. I appealed and lost the appeal, and then we've had 2 years. So it's nothing to do with me. The disaster is I've been most affected by anybody.
But I mean, really, if a wind generator is wanted, and I have to say that the south part of Egg, I think it would spoil it. But that's my personal feeling, and I would rather say, let us try and conserve that area. And in Cleodale, where the majority of the people live, where, as I say, they have 1,100 acres and everything else, I think that should be intensified, that we should do all those things there. You know, put all the facilities you want to, and the taxpayer will have to decide at the end of the day whether it wants to spend 20 times as much doing these services for people who choose, out of their own volition, to live over there. We've made this point now, they've all come recently, compared with being able to look after the homeless in Glasgow, Edinburgh and Aberdeen at a very much less cost. I mean, don't forget...
Well, in that case, why don't we just enter the islands and put everyone on Easter House? It'd be an awful lot easier.
You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Because, you see, if you create a dependent society, and you know, then the war goes rolling on. It goes rolling on. But actually, the real people who would like to live there would also like to stand on their own feet.
Okay, right, let's have some real people. I'm not suggesting that everyone in this conversation isn't, but we have some callers. Let me give the number again. It's 041-338-6161. Isabel Holborn is on the line. Good morning, Isabel.
Good morning.
Now, I actually mentioned Fuller in Shetland just a minute ago. I understand that's where you're from.
That's correct.
Now, Fuller was mentioned to me by quite a few people. In fact, you've been to Egg yourself and talking to them about the sort of improvements in just real nuts and bolts terms, the question of mains water, the question of electricity. What did you feel when you went down there in terms of what you've got as an island against what the Egg people have got?
Well, first of all, we felt a very strong sense of identity with the people of Egg, because Fula went through a very difficult time when our population dropped to 27. And when the Egg Trust document came out and I phoned some people in Egg, we felt a great fellow feeling with them. We have a windmill, a wind generator in Fula, and it is very beautiful. It is dwarfed by the height of the hills in Fula as it would be in Egg. It supplies the whole community with electricity. It's a very great asset, and we're very proud to be able to share it and share our knowledge of it with other communities, because that's what we feel life is all about.
Were you on the diesel generators yourself before that?
That's correct, and Fula now uses only 10% of the diesel fuel that it imported before the windmill was erected.
Have you any other forms of electricity there?
We have a small hydro scheme which backs up the wind when the wind drops, and also a big mains generator which backs up the whole system.
And how do you feel that sort of innovation, if you like, has stabilised the community? I mean, how's it helped?
Well, it simply is indescribable. I mean, just imagine your own household with no electricity. We have freezers, we have machinery, we can have small industry. Oh, it's just indescribable, the difference it makes to the way of life.
You say you can have small industry. Do you have small industry?
Well, anyone can use power tools for making small boats, things like that, yes.
What other improvements? Have you had a bit of a shopping list there, as you probably did have, to get things done? What else was on it?
We actually got our public water supply in 1982. We were promised one in 1962. But the powers that be decided that Fula may not have people in it in the next 20 years, so we didn't get our water scheme. We all had to put in pipes from our wells, and 20 years later, the water scheme came.
So what about other things, that like sewage, like rubbish tips, that sort of thing?
Our rubbish actually goes in small skips, which are sent in by Shetland Islands Council on the ferry. We have a weekly collection of domestic rubbish. We burn as much as we can in peat stoves. And there's a weekly collection of domestic rubbish which goes into small closed skips which are lifted aboard the ferry and taken out to the public tip in Shetland.
And what was your feeling then when you went to Egg? How did you see the place in comparison to Fula?
Well, I actually belong to a group called Highlands and Islands Forum, and we act as a network linking people in remote areas with common problems, and we share solutions. And that was the feeling that I had, that people who live in Ireland know what the way of life in an island is like and can identify very strongly with practical problems like this. I objected very strongly to the statement earlier in the programme that an island is not different from any other rural area. We all know very well that it is.
Well, enlarge on that. It's obvious to us all it's surrounded by water, but what does that mean?
Well, it makes a community fragile and vulnerable because, first of all, the freight that is payable and everything going in and out and the difficulties of sea transport in the autumn. And also the land ownership and the land tenure are at the root of most of the problems in isolated areas. Because any casual decision taken by a landlord can completely undermine the way of life, the economic viability. People have been talking about economic things. I believe that the culture and heritage are absolutely linked with the people and the land. And a whole community identity can be lost if wrong decisions are taken.
What's the situation with your own island? Is that privately owned?
Yes, it's privately owned, but the whole island is within crofting tenure, so it's different from Egg in that way.
Keith?
No, I think the point is there is the same crofting tenure at the north end of the island. I think that's the quite clear. I think there's a very great deal of sense in what the last speaker said. There are actually two small private hydroelectric schemes on Egg. For many years, I ran a boat service entirely unsupported by the state, which actually did 577 crossings one year with people, goods, everything else. And compared with the state boats, sort of 200 or so. But it's very difficult, as she said, to go on struggling when you don't get any support.
But you might. I mean, if you, it sounds like if Spiller have managed to do it, have managed to get themselves off the diesel generators, there's no reason why Egg shouldn't.
I agree with you, but then this is really a problem for our elected representatives in the region.
Right. Well, we'll hope to hear from one very shortly to see whether that's his perception of things too. Meantime, let me give the number again. I'm told that the phones are unnaturally quiet. I'm not sure what this means. I hope no one's frightened of Keith's bark. I'm sure it's not as bad as his bite. Here's the number. It's 041-338-6161. Now we have Jim Ritchie on the line from Dundee. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Right, what's your point?
I've been listening to your conversation here.
Uh-huh.
I'm an ex-farm worker who worked on some of the large estates in Perthshire here way back many years ago. We were living in vermin-infested hovels for a pittance. Now, if we even tried to shoot a rabbit or snare a rabbit, we were liable to be tossed out in our neck and left homeless. Now, the main point of my point is there's far too few people owns far too much land in Scotland, and it's high time this was stopped. I don't know what like a landlord Mr. Schellenberg is. He sounds a very nice man, all the rest of it. But I'm only speaking for the people that I've had dealings with. And even to this day, they're trying to stop access by the general public to get onto the hills and climbing and what have you. I think it's a disgrace, and it's time there was something done.
I agree very much with everything that speaker says, but I think that one of the things to bear in mind is that we do encourage access. One of the main things we've tried to do on Egg, up to 89, was to get these ruinous cottages restored. They're very primitive. Nobody could live them all the year round. But people can come on holiday and enjoy them.
And that is not primitive, you
didn't say that you built all the cottages.
Yes, I say that.
You built ruinous cottages. You said
we restored.
Cottages which in Shelter's report of 1986 says the island of Egg had at the time of the survey no council housing association stock, so no waiting lists, and therefore by default no outwardly perceived housing needs. In fact, two-thirds of the community lived in BTS housing or substandard caravans, and it was the elderly members of the community who were worst off, with 11 out of 13 pensioner households living in seriously substandard accommodation, most of the houses uninsulated, severely affected by rising and penetrating damp, no proper electricity supply, some had no water supply, so no baths, showers, sinks, wash and basins, WCs.
But these are not owned by... I agree completely with what has been done, and the improving grants, which has started up a very good small business on the island, but these are not actually my houses. What I have tried to do, and the ones that are under our ownership are a very small number of the total. I was saying we have tried to do was to restore cabins which are not fit for all the year-round habitation and let visitors come and enjoy. And that was the access thing. But as far as the question of the conditions and everything else, you still understand, and you know this quite well, Alistair, that the young man who joined the farm at 16, he's now about 32, he's married with 5 children and everything else, he has got control of half the farming land on the island with his 2 brothers-in-law.
As of 28th of May this year, Keith.
Yes, and not as on 28th of May this year at all. As of the 1st of January 1990. And the only reason none of these people, he didn't have it before that, because all the businesses I can think of that I've been involved with, at some time or other, I have passed them over to the active young management. That's miles outside the Hebrides, and I run the same principle. But he has been given a third of the sheep stock by me and lent the money to buy the other 2/3 purely so that we can have the continuity with somebody who will make a success of it.
But
and knows
again, that's sort of one person. I'm interested in what you were saying about the condition of the housing. Now, let's get this thing sorted out, because what people were saying to me seemed to be that if they tried to buy their crofts, they lost the possibility of getting grants. However, if they stayed as tenants or if they stayed in the position that they didn't own their crofts, they didn't have security of tenure. And in between that, they find themselves stuck.
Can I just correct Mr. Schellenberg? Your own Knight, Frank and Rutley selling document for the island of Egg says that the agreement we just referred to was as of 28th May. In fact, the socio-economic report we did, we had to rewrite at considerable expense of time to ourselves because of these last-minute changes, very welcome changes, I might add, that you made with regards to a number of tenancies.
Well, this is a
come in here, because I think nobody listening, and I trust in a wider sense of Scotland, will actually be able to follow this. I suppose the point of what you're making is that Alistair is suggesting that some of these moves to kind of move out your control to other people have been pretty recent. I'm more interested in this question, which has been brought up here by Keith, which is he doesn't control the homes, so whose fault is it if they're substandard?
We're looking at a situation where Keith
answer
claims... Hang on. Keith, you claim that you only control one part of the island. In fact, according to your selling document here, all but 50 acres are under sale. Now, 1,100 acres at the north, relatively infertile end...
Not at all.
...are under trusting control...
And you yourself say it's not properly done.
Which still means that you are the landowner... And
I have no control or interest and never have exercised. The rents have stayed the same for those crofts.
Because the other day, I phoned up a school friend of mine who's now a leading crofting lawyer. And he said to me, the worst thing that a crofting landowner can do is nothing. And that has been precisely the problem in recent years.
Right, let me leap in at this point, because taking us sort of slightly down the west coast of Scotland, we have Seamus McSporran on the line from GEA. Good morning, Seamus.
Good morning, Lucy.
Now, you're just about to go through the same sort of process that Egg went through last week, and that you're waiting to find out who's bought the island. What is it 12 o'clock that the envelopes are opened?
I'm not at all sure, but we're just waiting for news. Whether it comes soon or later, I do not know at this stage.
What's the feeling? Obviously, great uncertainty, but what's the feeling been? You've been covered a lot in the press. You've probably had the same flock of journalists that flocked around Egg, and it must be said, getting a lot of people's backs up. What's the feeling been like?
Well, the first feeling that I must express is a feeling of thanks to all the people who have expressed their good wishes for us and in fact prayed for us at this time, and must give thanks to them, each and every one from near and far. Thank you very much for thinking about it at this time.
Well, go further than that. I mean, you talk in almost biblical sort of terms there. I mean, do you feel in a sense like that your lives are under threat, that it's a crisis for your community?
It's not my intention to be biblical, but it is my intention to thank the folks who have thought of us. And I just wish that we would get a layup like some of these folks who have written to us and be thoughtful and caring to the people of this island.
So you're still in the stage where, rather than trying to go for some community ownership, you'd rather hope, get your fingers crossed, and hope you get a sympathetic laird.
Well, today is the day we should get a layup, so there's no real good in thinking about community ownership now, is there?
Mm-hmm. What about that, Alistair? I mean, in these instances, those opportunities have passed, but is there the will there? I mean, the thing's obviously time-limited in Seamus's instance, but are you finding that people want the opportunity, or is this a lot of talk when you may find that a lot of islanders are actually a wee bit chary of taking on that responsibility?
It's very varied. The North Loch Inver case that you cited is a case in point where the community is 100% behind community ownership. On Egg, there was a secret ballot about it, and 73% of the people voted in favour. In the case of Gear, we were contacted by islanders on Gear asking if the Isle of Egg Trust would come down and help them set up a community ownership trust. I phoned back, and said we would very happily do this if there is support from a substantial portion of the community. But then they got back in touch and said actually the community is fairly equally divided about it. And I said, under those circumstances, the Isle of Vic Trust wouldn't be prepared to intervene.
Right. Well, can I come back to you, Seamus? I mean, obviously, there's not much you can do about it in the short term. But, I mean, you must have thought about what would be a better way forward. Do you feel that people would have the confidence to try and tackle the problems that landowners have tackled differently? Or do people just really not want that responsibility?
I'm not at all sure that people want that responsibility. And as Alistair explained, we need a consensus of opinion before we can have that sort of thing. But we just don't have that, I'm afraid, on GIA.
But I thought surely that one of the great things about GIA is that he has got a lot of individual businesses and so on. It's really much more developed than Egg, in fact. And, you know, I've visited once or twice. I think it's a wonderful island. And there is far more involvement than somebody coming in things like the fish farm, I agree, where it's quite critical to the place. But there are still, on the Isle of Gear, it has a very frequent service, I think probably 6 or 7 boats a day.
Remember, we're talking to you about broken and divided communities in the Highlands. Communities, the spirit of which has been broken literally by threat of, by expulsion overseas over the past 200 years, and are divided now by the kind of community mixture, the kind of tourist lets breaking up villages and so on, which our present landlord system devises. Why do we need these landlords? What good do landlords do?
But look at Canna. If you want to talk about it, you're talking about the number of people that actually come into Egg. Well, look at Canna, which is funded by the state, owned by the National Trust for Scotland. The population's gone down there from about 30 to 9.
I'm not talking about funding.
Why don't you have a go at Canna? And have a go with the National Trust.
Keith, hang on a minute. I don't think that's what Alice is putting forward as his example anyway. But let me stop both of you, because we did talk earlier. I think Keith had suggested that there were some problems from his side of it, but from the point of view of councillors. We now have Councillor Michael Foxley on the line, who's the regional councillor. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
What do you make of what's happened? I don't know if you've managed to hear very much of this, because I understand you've been in a doctor's surgery all morning.
Yeah, well, I just created a wee hole in the middle. No, I'm afraid I haven't heard any of the programme.
Right, well, the suggestion, I think, was made by Keith that quite a few of the problems that we are laying at his door don't really belong to him and belong to neglect on the part of the council. For example, I think it was the refuse tip, the lack of energy getting mains water, the electricity problem of not having the wind generator in, this sort of thing.
There may well be some truth in that. The last 2-3 years, as I'm sure Keith Schoenberg has pointed out to you, there has been this protracted legal dispute going on. It's been very difficult to finalise any arrangements because of the ownership issue on the island. Those measures, because there's clearly a definite need on Egg for things like the water supply, things like housing for the elderly, particularly an improved slipway jetty facility. They'll continue to be investigated.
So you're saying that you havered because you weren't sure what the sort of security of putting that investment into the island would be?
No, it's not a question of havering. The water supply only came onto the agenda because of the housing need. The housing need, there were certainly some difficulties in securing the title because of the legal dispute over ownership. The slipway jetty improvements have been the subject of wide-ranging discussions and engineering proposals over the past 2-3 years. They've just been progressively moving forward.
So are you suggesting you're taking some of the responsibility on behalf of the council a bit on your own side here? Are you suggesting then that the question of land ownership is not the issue?
No, I haven't heard your early discussions. The question of land ownership in the Highlands is the fundamental issue. It underpins every opportunity. It underpins every problem. The situation on egg was that the island was put on the market. Any views that may have been expressed, I mean, I spoke to Keith Schellenberg just before the sort of sale. It's not a question of being anti him. The estate was on the market, or the island was on the market with the island.
Dr. Foxy says about this. I mean, this was my great fear. I mean, I don't. If somebody, and I'm just talking about the farm now, if somebody came along that had more resources, would have made a clean start, and actually there was somebody in the background to do that, and I would have been very happy to step down. I'm a minority anyway, and I just saw my involvement with it as a continuation with my children stretching on. But I'm only one of 70 people, and I've never regarded myself as anything else. And other than the responsibilities I have.
Well, as a matter of interest, what do you see them as being? What responsibilities do you have that's different from a foster?
Like, are you going to live there, for example?
Yes. I mean, I live there for...
But are you going to live there?
Well, let me answer that. I lived there for 4 years. I have a 92-year-old mother living in Yorkshire, so I can't stay all the time there. I'm her only relative. I have to earn money to try and keep things going there, so I'm not going to spend all my time there, but when I was running it for 15 years, nothing else became as important. I'm now 20 years older, so you can't expect me Well, I've just explained to you. When you say own the place, my involvement is considerable, but my influence on it is very small.
I think the doctor, actually, and
nobody bothered to speak to the new doctor or anything else, who I think will have a good input on the place. The doctor, to me, having a good doctor on the island is a lot more important than, and I don't like the word, emotive word, lounder, than the farmer.
I would like to come back to what you were about to answer when Alistair Nottoli interrupted that, which was the question of responsibilities. What responsibilities do you see yourself having?
Well, let me say, my particular interest, if you like, in this, is the wildlife. And what egg in international terms is quite exceptional. What I always wanted to do was to see that this was preserved carefully, not at the expense of the local. We've done this wonderfully well with the present farm. And I know Doctor referred to the bracken, but this is a great problem throughout the Highlands and everything else. But I have an interest in the wildlife, very much so, which I don't think many other potential buyers would have.
Well, I know, because I've told this that this is true. I mean, people say, right, that's absolutely true. It's the human wildlife that they think you're not so interested in.
Well, you know, I can understand. There's just so much anybody could do. But what I'm trying to say to you, and I think that we have a very good chance after the turmoil that Alistair has produced and the turmoil of this 6 years of the law, which I hope we can come on to and reform the due case. But I hope we'll all make a constructive start on egg. I'm particularly looking forward to my daughter Sophie, who's, you know, that bit younger, more in touch with everybody and everything else. And for what small role we have, we will do our best to see that we have a good community. And, you know, we'll all work together with the region and everything else. I will certainly, I may have been overdone, you know, I'll say this frankly, the conservation angle.
No, you've done a jolly good job on that.
Well,
I really take off my hat to you in terms of the way you've worked with the Scottish Wildlife Trust. That has been exemplary. It's the human side of it that there's a few problems on, and I very much hope that your daughter, Sophie or whatever, and yourself will listen to what the needs of the community are and allow people a chance to run their own things. Because the big problem with land ownership is that people want to own land because it gives them a sense of being someone. It's linked with virility in the wider sense of that word.
Sorry, I've got
the trouble is that is being stolen from the people when their land is held by...
Right, not having any virility, let me leap in to say that we're running out of time. There are a couple of people I'd like to get on. One is Ian Williamson. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning.
Now, what's your view?
Well, I have strong Jura connections, that sailing Jura in the deep south. I've been listening to these arguments all my life, and it seems to me people are still chasing their tails. If you study all the islands, you'll find that the most viable ones are the ones which have been held to fishing, which is Isla, Barra, Lewis and Harris. It seems to me that they're trying to exist on the islands without a fishing economy is an absolutely hopeless case. I realize there is a problem with fishing, but that's part of a much larger environmental problem which has to be solved. But as farming units, the islands are never going to be economically viable.
That's true, and that was raised by quite a lot of people I spoke to, particularly Hector. But, I mean, you could look at, for example, quite a number of other places on the mainland which are also not exactly viable in terms of jobs. I mean, there are entire unemployment black spots, but no one suggests that people shouldn't move there. I wonder whether we've got to accept now that there will be, for good now, situations where a lot of people will not be in full-time employment, and the absence of full-time employment shouldn't mean that people then get cleared off an island.
Yes, well, in my time, which is roughly from the mid-30s on, it's always been a case of hand-to-mouth. My grandfather was a miller, peer master, coal agent, crofter, etc. Most people exist by having half a dozen jobs, but I think that a viable fishing industry encouraged on the west of Scotland is the only possible solution for maintaining the islands as living communities.
Well, let's see
maintaining the Gaelic culture, which is also very important to me.
Let's just see what Seamus makes of that, because you mentioned a man with six hats. I think Seamus has probably got more than that, actually. But Seamus, do you get a feeling of sort of despair about the whole economic future of living on islands that some people have articulated?
I do get despair about it, because, going back to the sale of gear, I cannot understand why it is that this, an island part of the United Kingdom, served by ferries and roads by the council, schools, and the council having such an interest in all these things on the island, I cannot understand why they do not have a look at this, the person who is to be our laird, and see that he would be a responsible, decent person who would look after the community.
Seamus, it's very difficult, the time available, and to sort of articulate what all those problems have been. But, I mean, Keith is basically saying in his instance, he hasn't got enough control to make the difference. Yeah. Are you saying that landowners, or in your instance, Malcolm Potier, did have the power to make your lives a lot better or worse?
Well, it certainly got worse in the time that he was here, but there'll be many factors to attribute to that.
Well, can you just come up with a few specifics? I mean, how can a landowner make your life hell if he wants?
Oh, he can, because he has the power over our homes and our work in many cases. So this is the way that he can really make or break us.
Do you have crofting tenure, or are you tenants?
We are tenants at the post office, but they'll be both on the island.
So, I mean, Keith, you were starting to dispute this, but I mean, it will be the case then without... You're talking a lot about the 1,100, 1,200 acres that are crofting tenure on egg, but I mean, what's the total acreage of the whole island?
The total acreage is about 7,500, but bear in mind, nearly all this is scree and cliff and heath and alpine tundra that you can't do anything at all with. There's only a relatively small bit of arable land, and only so many people can earn a living off it. If you want them... to do, in terms of
agriculture as it is in Scotland today, if you want them to earn a living.
I mean, it's curious that, though, because, I mean, the crofters, if the crofters union were here, they would be saying that the one growth industry in the Western Isles at the moment is that there is a great queue of demand for people who want to croft.
This is something we wanted to do with the trust, to create limited new holdings at a rate consistent with the wishes of the people of Egg. That's one of the things that I hope Keith might look at now. And, you know, regarding this business of him not being in control of the island and so on, if you control the most basic resource, the land, as the first report of the Highlands and Islands Development Board said, land is our most basic resource, then willy-nilly, because you're controlling nature, you control human life there.
But you can't find one incident, can you, in the 17 years where I have behaved in some bad way? Can you produce one incident of that?
Is it not the case that you've evicted people?
Never.
What about the 2 monks?
Oh, the 2 monks. Well, I didn't evict the monks.
The monks, unfortunately, are going to take us over the edge time-wise. But I just wonder at the end of it, Keith, you mentioned and you admitted that it was there was going to be problems if somebody had bought the island that did want to start going shooting at Greenland or whatever. Don't you accept that after you, whatever happens, that may well happen as long as they're private landowners?
Well,
you can't even guarantee the future.
No, I mean, the one thing I will make quite sure, which is perhaps the main reason why the fact we came back into this, was that we can now set up agreements with the Scottish Wildlife Trust to make sure that this can never happen again.
Right, well, we shall
see how
watertight that can be on the open market in the future, which is uncertain. The certainty is I've got to stop talking now. So many thanks to Keith Schellenberg, Alistair McIntosh, Seamus McSporland and Desney Barlow. That's all for today. So from me, Leslie Riddick, thanks to you for speaking out.